Okay, feel free to start with your introductions.
My name is Susan Olson Faust. I'm 65 years old. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, which is where we are recording from today. I forgot what else you asked me. Oh, who am I with? My mother?
Hi.
So you can introduce yourself, Mom.
Yes. My name is Margaret Dietrich Olson. I'm Sue's mom. I am 89 years old. And she asked if I might like to talk a little bit about my childhood. And I thought that would be a great idea. Would like to have something like that recorded. I was fortunate to have a very wonderful, I call it idyllic
childhood. This is your introduction. You can end now.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, daughter.
Yeah, so just jump into your conversation now.
Okay. So, Mom, Margaret, or Margie, as you were known, you were born in 1934 and grew up in Wilmette, Illinois. And your childhood mostly took place in the late 30s during the Depression and into the 1940s. And I've heard you say more than once that your childhood was idyllic. And I thought it would be fun today to take some time and let you describe what your childhood was like, and particularly those things that you consider to be idyllic and special and wonderful memories that we could document today.
Well, I had never really thought about it too much, but the fact of the matter is that I am a firstborn American. My
first generation American.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Firstborn American was probably someone really old.
Oh, okay.
Like from the 1600s.
Oh, okay.
Maybe an Indian, I don't know.
Thanks. My parents were both born in Europe. My father in Austria, my mother in Czechoslovakia. And I was just very blessed to be born in a community that welcomed me. And I was really kind of one of the only children my age in a community of older people. So they really kind of put me under their wing, and they just treated me like I was some really special child. So that was kind of nice in my childhood to have that. I was really very blessed.
You had particular neighbors next door that you were particularly close mm-hmm. to, right?
Yes, it was a few years. I was probably about five when we moved as far as three blocks away, and did move into next door neighbors who were very special. It was a family of six. The father, who I call Daddy Phillips, and his wife, Mother Phillips, he was blind. He was blinded by an accident after his children were grown. But he had an accident. He worked for the Forest Preserve District, and a limb had fallen on him and made him lose his sight. And so he kind of took me under his wing, and I took him under my wing. And together, we were, I was sort of his eyes, and just did many things together. If he had to go to the store for any groceries, or to the hardware store, or to the barber shop, I would take him and his dog Butch, and we would walk up the street and do his errands and come back. And all the time, I would just have my arm in his, and his other arm was with a cane. But together, we made quite a couple with the dog, quite a threesome. But we did many things together. And he taught me many things. He had a huge, huge Braille book. I can't tell you how big it was. It was a book, and the pages were probably half a newspaper page. Each page was that big, and it was in Braille. And he would read to me the paper or the
text,
you know, mm-hmm. the articles that were in Braille. And he was very interested in all that was going on in the world, especially in a world that had was through and into World War II. So it was interesting that he would talk to me about things that I did not know about. So he taught me, and in my own way, I could teach him too. So he was just next door, and we spent a lot of time together, and it was more than wonderful. It was more than wonderful. And he had a family of five, and they all were grown children, but they took me like I was some precious little doll. The girls, when they would go downtown Chicago to work, they would take me on the Northwestern train with them to their offices. And they knew that I was a cheap lunch date because I always ordered the same thing, which was tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich. So they were happy to take Margie to work with them because she was never any trouble. Gosh, I was never any trouble. That's hearsay.
They took you on special occasion days,
yes,
too.
Yes,
right?
If it was Christmas time, for sure. I never missed the walnut room at Marshall Fields and the tree at Christmas.
The windows?
Yes, yes. They would take me there, and it was a joy. It was delightful, and they were just always very, very good to me. And the sons, they had three sons, and they too, they would tease the heck out of me, but that was okay. If they happened to be shaving in the bathroom and had the door open, and if I just, you know, was watching them shave, they would take some of that shaving cream and stick it on my nose. I thought it was so special. I don't know why, but at the time I did.
Sweet.
Yes, it was. It was a sweet relationship. And
the neighborhood was very friendly in terms of playing, like it was a big playground, right?
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of playmates as I got older. We had a street that we just thought was ours when it came to playing baseball, and heaven help any car that wanted to come through, because we just wouldn't let them through if someone was up at the bat and might just possibly hit a home run. That car had to wait until we were finished with our inning. And hide and seek and dodgeball and just fun things that we played all the time. And you just, if you wanted someone to come out and play, you'd just go over to their house and say, Georgie, Georgie, Georgie. And finally, they'd hear you and they'd come out and play with you. It was fun. It was fun. It's all we had to do. And we waited for the street lights to go out, and then we had to go home.
That was your signal.
Yes, that was our signal. Okay. Right.
Well, home, let's talk about your home and your parents. I never really got to know my grandfather because he passed away when I was very young. Mm-hmm. So myself, my brother John, my sister Ina, and Chris didn't get to know him. But we definitely knew your mom.
Yep. She was
Susie.
A special lady. Mm-hmm.
Name was Susie. I was named after her. And as we called her, Nani. And her nickname from a local author from the North Shore who included her in a book was our Czechoslovakian angel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she did some domestic work for some of the wealthier North Shore ladies who needed help for entertaining for dinner parties and wanted special hors d'oeuvres made or dinner prepared. She had little frilly
hors d'oeuvres.
I'm thinking about
apron.
Her apron, mm-hmm. that she looked like
yep.
you know, something out of Central Casting for a
fancy waitress.
Yeah, fancy waitress, mm-hmm. is right. And she also took in laundry for them as well.
Yes, she was indeed very, very productive. Amazing cook, amazing laundress.
She had very strange equipment in the basement to make laundry clean.
Mm-hmm.
I recall she had one of those washers that had the separate spinning device.
Yeah, yes.
Is there a name for that?
I think it was made by Maytag. I think it was just called a spin dryer washer.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
So you'd put the wash in the part with the water, and you'd have to take it out and put it in the spin part
mm-hmm.
to get all the water out mm-hmm. of the clothes. I can't imagine doing that today.
Well, she wore a plastic apron because she would be soaked.
I bet.
After doing laundry, she would just be soaked from head to toe because she had to transfer all the clothing from one, tub to another.
And then all the laundry had to go on the line because there was no dryer.
Mm-hmm.
So it got hung in the basement in the winter and in the backyard in the summer
mm-hmm.
with clothespins.
In the wintertime. That even if it was below zero, those clothes still went outside and they froze stiff. But that was okay because when you brought them in, you didn't have to sprinkle them because they were still so full of moisture. And I would watch her iron like it was an art. She was amazing. And then downstairs, she had a gas mangle and she would do all the flat work on that gas mangle.
So that looked like a sort of a printing press, like two big
rollers
mm-hmm. and the tablecloths would go between mm-hmm. and get pressed
mm-hmm.
flat.
Yep. Yeah.
Like I bet you, I don't even know who would have a mangle in their home anymore. Or maybe a professional.
Well, it was hard to operate. She had to push a heavy piece of wood down to get the rollers going. It was
It sounds like something that would be really dangerous too.
And then she did have a little gas stove down there because she would make her own starch the clothing that she was going to iron. So she would boil the water and put the Argo starch in it. I remember Argo starch. She would put that into the water and so that it would dissolve in the boiling water. And she used that to starch any clothes that needed to be starched. And she was an amazing cook in her kitchen. It was just anything that she baked or she cooked. And she seemed to be able to do it from next to nothing. My brother would come home for lunch sometimes. And,
almost every weekday when he was working as a mechanic, mm-hmm. right in town.
And she would create a 7-course meal from just absolutely nothing. And it was always more than delicious. She had a stove that was a gas stove, and it had regular gas burners on it and a gas oven. But then to the left of it was a wood burning section. And for many years, we had a very small house. And for many years, that small wood burning section was the heat that we had for our house. It had a pipe that went up the side of the kitchen and out to out a chimney. So that was a wood section for
so it was heat. Literally for keeping the house warm,
yes.
Not for cooking food.
Yes, it was. And she had a schedule of Monday being wash day and Tuesday would be ironing day. Wednesday would be marketing. Thursday, not sure what we ever did on Thursday. Friday was always baking day and Saturday too. And Sunday would be a day of rest. And that would be a day of going to church and me going to Sunday school. But it was this kind of a repetitious type of living.
Out of necessity, because
mm-hmm. yep.
clothes needed to be cleaned and mm-hmm. food needed to be cooked and things needed to be baked and things needed to be canned so that everyone could eat and everyone could wear clean clothes.
And all of those things that you speak of, Sue, like things to eat and canning, we preserved so much. She had a pressure cooker, and we would can peaches and pears. And we had tomatoes. Yeah,
are so good.
Right. We had lots of tomato plants. My dad would all had always a good harvest of tomatoes and peaches. We had peach trees and we had currant bushes. So we always had jelly or jams from the currants. And so in the wintertime, we had a basement, and it had a little corner of the basement that had curtains drawn over it. And behind the curtains was shelving where we would put the
all the mason jars.
The canning products that we had, we would keep down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had people that would bring to the house. We had a milkman named Jimmy Frake, and he would bring milk and butter and cream. And we had a bakery man, I think it was the Mayro Bakery out of Chicago. And he would stop by and you would give him your order if you wanted coffee cakes or bread. My mom really didn't bake bread. She did bake amazing cinnamon rolls, but I don't think she really ever baked bread. So we would order bread from the Mayro man. And then for treats, we would have a root beer and ginger ale in glass bottles that were brought to the house by the Lincoln Bottling Company.
Mm-hmm. Big, heavy. Those were really great mm-hmm. bottles. And mm-hmm. that was always a treat for all of his kids visiting, right. As well as putting in a special request for chocolate milk occasionally.
And we had a farmer that if we didn't have the milk delivered, then I would go over to Farmer Fegan's and get milk for home. And in the wintertime, it was always kind of fun. Just not fun, but it was kind of interesting because you'd go over and get your milk. And of course, it had so much cream in it.
You mean straight from the cow?
It wasn't pasteurized. So the cream froze to the top and it froze right up and out of the bottle. So in the winter, it was kind of a funny sight to see the cream that had popped out of the glass bottle and was just outside frozen. But the milk was good. And another man that would always come, and very regularly, I guess, if he wanted his money, he had to come and pick it up. And that was the insurance man. It was Mr. Snyder. And Mom had a little book where she kept track of the insurance.
What kind of insurance are we talking about?
We're talking about life insurance.
Life insurance, mm-hmm. not house?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I think it was just life insurance.
Okay.
And
this is like a monthly thing.
Yep. She would just keep a little, paid by cash. Everything was cash. They didn't know what a credit card mm-hmm. was. And they would pay cash for the insurance, and she would keep a little book of, and keep tab of everything.
Well, I think that we probably spent at least one day a week at Nani's kitchen table. And when I think back now, how small that must have been, and how we crammed four kids, yourself. Nani was always on her feet at the counter, so that she didn't need a chair. I think there was maybe like a step stool that was sort of the odd chair, right?
That mm-hmm, I think
so. When we needed one more seat in the kitchen. But we would spend so much time sitting around that table just getting fed. My goodness, pancakes. John would sit down and eat 25 pancakes at a time. And she made them by whipping egg whites into a stiff peak and folding it into the batter. And they were the most delicious pancakes you'd ever want to eat.
Well, they were so fluffy. That's what they were. And we, of course, the syrup was in a log cabin syrup. It was a can of syrup.
An old tin.
Shaped like a log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... just a memory that I have of that.
I was thinking too about when she would prepare for one of these fancy North Shore cocktail parties, she would get bags and bags of like Wonder Bread. And then she had a round cookie cutter and she'd cut those Each slice of bread would make four rounds.
Hors d'oeuvres, yeah.
And she would make fancy hors d'oeuvres with that by putting crab meat on top and a little bit of cocktail sauce, a shrimp, cream cheese. Cream cheese and jelly were like the kids' kind of hors d'oeuvres.
But she was very much in demand, and she had a friend. Her name was Tante Anna, and the two of them would make hors d'oeuvres by the hundreds for North Shore parties. And she was so well respected by all of the people that she worked for on the North Shore. It always made me feel good as her daughter to think how they respected her. When she was 80, we had a birthday party for her just to recognize that wonderful age that she had reached. And her friends that she, you know, worked for all showed up, and many of them were instrumentalists. They brought their violins, they brought their basses, and they had a Susie song that they created for her and sang to her. So it made me feel really good. So for all that she had done for them, they were more than kind about reciprocating with this lovely song and party for her. So she so deserved it because she had done their laundry. She had watched their kids. She had done their cooking. She had cleaned their house. She had any job that they had to do, you know, Susie was there to do it. So it was nice that she was recognized for all that she did for them. Just a simple little Czechoslovak lady who was more than willing to give all that she had. And it was nice that she was, they responded with their love for her. So it was nice. It was more than wonderful. Made me feel good. Made her feel good.
Can you think of traditions that she created for you that you liked to continue as you became an adult and a mother yourself?
Well, I hope I was as good a babysitter for my grandkids as she was. She, when I think about it, when I would, I had four children, and they were close together. I think the four of them were under 5 years old. And I would take them over there, and it was just nothing for her to watch those kids for me. And when I think about it now, I think, oh my goodness, that was asking a whole lot of her to do that. And yet she did it out of love and enjoyed it. And I'm sure she was glad when I would pick them up after they had spent some time with her. But I would hope that I would be as good a grandmother to my grandkids as she was.
You are a wonderful mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Mom. So wouldn't doubt that for a minute.
Yes, but she didn't have all the
iPads.
Easy things.
And Disney videos and games. And
exactly.
We played with kind of old school toys, old little set of stuffed elves that were like an elf school. It was somebody had made that by hand. And
I hope that I can be as good a bunco player as she was. Oh boy, she could roll those dice. She would have ladies over and they would have bunco parties. And I would just watch. And that was more fun than anything, just to be able to watch the older ladies play cards or canasta or bunco. It was just kind of fun to watch. And
they'd get so excited when they were on a winning streak.
Yeah, see how they enjoyed it. So I sometimes just hope that I can be just partially as good as she was.
Well, you did a pretty good job in the 60s with your card group of ladies, your CCs that you get together every month and have a nice luncheon and play some cards. And you and Dad played cards.
Yes, we play pinochle and we tried to learn bridge. Played that on occasion. I played with some ladies, mm-hmm. and So that, you know, I guess maybe her card playing did kind of pass on to me.
I love thinking about all the time that Nani spent, you know, preparing things and nurturing us. But it was a lot of work, and it's hard to imagine in our day and age putting that much time into preparing food. Now it's so readily available in stores. I'm thinking that as you became a young mother in the called 60s, 70s, you didn't really need to do all of those things that she was doing. You didn't need to be making your own jelly and canning your own tomatoes. You were of a new generation. You had grocery stores.
Yes, but it's providing, however you do it, it's mm-hmm. still providing. And I think even it's the same thing with love, no matter, there are certain things that you still, you know, just provide through love. So for me, that's pretty simple to do. That's pretty simple to do.
You're good at it, Mom.
And actually, I'm blessed now with neighbors and friends at my age and a church family that I am shown so much love, and I have been able to give it back in many ways, being a Barnabas minister for my church, so I can give to the elderly or the homebound. That kind of love that I remember my mom gave to me and to my children, because I too can share that kind of love and living with other people that are not as fortunate as I am. I am very blessed. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm extremely blessed. Have been all my life with the meager beginning that I had as a child. It was meager. But
look how happy.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget. I grew up in a climate where we had cold weather in Illinois in the wintertime. I loved to ice skate, and I had the village green not too far from me. And I wanted white figure skates so bad because everybody else had them. And my folks did not have the funds to get me white figure skates, and they managed somehow. Somebody had some brown figure skates. And in fact, brown, it just was kind of unheard of, really, but they got me some brown figure skates, and I just kind of had to make that do. But I just wanted so much for those white ones. Well, finally, one Christmas, I got white figure skates. And what was so amazing, they bought them so big so that I would be able to wear them for a long time. And after I was grown up, I was married, and I moved to my home in Poplar Grove. That was 20 years ago. My figure skates were still too big for me, but they were white, and that was all I wanted at the time. So I guess if you wait long enough and wish hard enough, those things do happen. But I will always remember that. And I will always remember when my mom did pass, bless her heart. And, you know, she had always promised me that she would do my ironing. And she passed, and I still had a basket of ironing. And I thought, Mom, did you realize that, you know, you didn't get the ironing all done for me? And she must have had a chuckle about that. Yeah. But she was good. She was very good. I learned lots from her, and I hope that I'm passing that on to those that I love, including you, Sue.
You do.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, or do you think we've come to the close?
Well, unless you can think of any other things.
No, I think it was a nice chat, and we captured a lot of good memories.
I enjoyed it.
Good.
I'll enjoy hearing it played back for me. That would be nice. But for anyone who was born and raised in my time and with my circumstances, I'm sure they would have a lot of the same memories that I had. Good family, good neighbors, good friends, and all of those are things that you can't duplicate. They were there at the time, and they have just brought good memories to you throughout the years.
Well, thanks for some good memories.
Thank you. It was fun.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, too.